to work. All right, so we'll start foundations, and here's our deal. We feel like one of our things that we need to do for you is to allow you and provide you opportunity to learn how to encounter the Bible on your own, how to grow in God on your own, and how to be with Jesus on your own. And so foundations is our way of saying that there's these four core things that consistently have a way of showing here's how you encounter God. Reading the Bible, praying, worshiping, and serving consistently through the Bible. Those four things have done have shown people how to encounter God more. And so we do 4 weeks of each of part of those. And then we have what can easily be called like a practicum, which is, you know, like a collegiate level learning opportunity. And so we have these little practicums that come on the fifth week for you to put that into practice. So our first one is going to be read. It's a way to read the Bible. And so we're going to teach you how to read the Bible. Most people read the Bible like a book, like it's Twilight. You'll find that it probably doesn't read like Twilight does. It's missing vampires and romance. Actually, not romance at all. There's plenty of romance. But so there's not reading like a novel. It reads like something different. So we kind of have to teach you how to do that. Then how to pray based on having read the Bible, what you should do as you pray. And then both as you've read the Bible and as you've prayed, that worship comes and responding to God. So teaching you what worship is. And not just having it be someone on the stage here giving you sing song. And then serving, that if we do those three things, there's something that happens within us that compels us to serve. And so this will take us through the end of the year. These four things just kind of given us an opportunity to walk through. We're going to go through a lot of Bible stuff today just to kind of lay foundations for foundations, I guess you could say. So if you have a Bible, we'll ask you to open there. If you don't have a Bible, we'll put it on the screen for you. But we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 3. This is Paul's way of kind of doing some foundation stuff. So if you want to go to 1 Corinthians 3, you can. Otherwise, we'll put it on the screen for you. And just encourage you, you know, bring your own Bible because this gives you an opportunity to see where stuff's at and to prove me that I'm not a liar. Because we could put any junk on the screen and I think you'd believe it. And so 1 Corinthians 3, we'll read verses 1 to 3 and then we'll jump to verse 10. And so here's something that Paul says to the Corinthian church. And here's where I think we and the church in Corinth have some real similarities. They were incredibly spiritual. They had some super encounters with Jesus. But then they had some places where they went on detours. And so they were pretty young in what God was doing amongst them. They were pretty young in knowing Christ, but they had had some things that caused them to go, he's real. And so Paul writes to the Corinthians constantly and says, man, you guys need to devote yourselves to other things besides just lofty spiritual practices because you're getting off track a little bit. So 1 Corinthians 3, here's what he says. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people as the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready. For you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? And then let's jump to verse 10. We'll read 10 to 14. It says, according to the grace of God given to me like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each of you take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but as only through fire. So here's Paul's idea. He wanted to come and talk about loftier things. He wanted to talk about bigger things. He wanted to talk about things that they didn't know about. But he said, since you don't even know the basic things, we can't get to the big things yet. Since you don't even understand the very foundations of what this is, we can't go any further because all you get is the very bottom of it. And so he said, I come to you like someone who's feeding an infant, giving you milk instead of giving you meat. Now, all of you have progressed beyond the needing milk to survive part of your life. You can now eat meats. Now, some of you willingly choose not to eat meats. I feel like you miss out on one of the great parts of the planet. But some of you have chosen, I will not eat meats, right? But no one now just lives on milk alone because you would vomit. But where Jude's at, Jude's life is dependent upon milk. Like without milk, he's going to die. Now, as we're starting to progress him towards meatland, we have to prepare him for other foods. So we take food and put it in a food processor and blend it. and then put it in a small little serving cup and then get a small spoon and start feeding him things. Now, the great joy of it is sometimes he loves it and it's a party, and sometimes he absolutely hates it and doesn't know how to respond bodily. So a perfect example is the guy loves peaches. I mean, he is a fan of peaches. So we blend up peaches and he could eat 14 cans of peaches. Hates sweet potatoes, which is a shocker in Babyland because most babies really love sweet potatoes. So when we blend up sweet potatoes and give it to him, he has like a shiver that happens, right? So we'll put it in his mouth, and as soon as he eats it, he has this reaction. And so you can see it, this reaction. And then he goes and like shivers, not knowing how to digest the food, right? We'll do the same thing with carrots and peas, and then bananas. I don't know if we've gotten into strawberries, but we can only give him a new food every 3 days. Otherwise, we're like prepping him for allergies. So if we were to give him a new food every day, he would be the most sickly boy the planet has ever known, and we'd treat him like he was living in a bubble. So in order to prep his body to eat food on its own, we have to like stage it and go from just straight milk, which he's been on for 6 months now, well, 7 months now. And then now we're in the place where we're progressing into more foods so that someday he's going to sit before a steak and use a knife and cut it and eat it up. If I gave him a steak right now, he'd choke and die. He does not have the ability to chew. He does not have the ability to like make that happen. He's got two front teeth he's working on up front, but that's not steak cutting power. So if we put that steak in his mouth, he'd probably get, you know, grizzle stuck in his back throat, and then we'd see him like choke out, and then there it is. So in order to keep him alive and in order to cause him to progress, we start with milk and then we progress our way towards meat. And then the first day he cuts into a hamburger or a steak, there will be such joy that comes in my heart to say, you have conquered the animal, you have tamed the beast, now enjoy the fruit of your harvest, all right? If we gave him steak the first day he's alive, he's not going to live. All right, so the same is true with Paul as he's sharing with this Corinthian church. He's like, you guys got to work your way from just getting the very basic nutrients of life and then working your way up to steak. And so some people start getting into this place where they just want to like learn something new and different. Like they want to learn something super awesome, but they're not even doing basic stuff. Like they're not even getting the basics down. And so foundations for us is a way of saying, here's how you begin to learn the basics. And you do the basics before you jump into the big land. Like you learn how to add one and one before you do calculus. If we put your third grade brother and sister in a calculus class, they would die. If we put you in a calculus class, odds are you'd die. All right? You've got to learn some things on the way. You've got to do some pre-algebra, some algebra, some advanced math, some formal geometry, some pre-calc, some calc-calc, some super-calc, and then you divide, you know, design and, you know, get us to Mars. And that's the way calculus rolls. And so I can't put you in calculus right now and you do well. And we got to teach you 1 + 1, 2 + 2, whatever. And so foundations is the way of saying, here's the way we get into the basic stuff. And what's true of Jesus is he would deal with these guys who were super religious, super head knowledge, super know about God. And they would bring him some big question and he would always come back to root stuff. Like, you want to talk about what the resurrection is going to be like for a woman who's had four husbands? Why don't you just love the people who are around you? And what's true with the church is you spend enough time around here and people are like, we need to get to big things. Man, if we're not doing basic things, then we're failing. And so if you can't love people, there's no reason for us to talk about heavy doctrine stuff if we can't get to one of the root things of Christ's teaching was love God, love people. So there you go. Now we're going to read Hebrews 5. So if you got a Bible, go to Hebrews 5. We're going to go verse 11. So Hebrews 5 and 6 is what we're going to read. This is the author of the book of Hebrews kind of giving some additional points to this whole milk and meat idea. So Hebrews 5, verse 11, and then we're going to read to 6:3, and then we'll jump around a bit. All right, so here we go. Hebrews 5, verse 11, it says this. About this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since we have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. And then let's jump to verse 9. So verse 9 to 12 says this. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not so unjust as to overlook your work and the love that you showed for his sake in serving the saints as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So the author of Hebrews says, okay, so you've got these people who want to jump into the deep stuff again, but we need to pull back and say that you're not ready for the deep stuff. You got to go back to the beginning things. You got to go back to milk in order to get nutrients so that you can progress on to meat. And his thing saying that, as we read verse 3 of Hebrews 6, says that as you continue in this practice and as you make this constant, as this becomes a part of who you are, then we'll get into big things. As you get used to reading the Bible, praying, worshiping, and serving, as you get used to making that a habit, then we'll get into the stuff that needs to be bigger and badder. But if we're not getting the basic things, then we're just going to jump forward. And so now we're going to read through the book of Acts a little bit. We'll throw this on the screen. But the book of Acts was the way at which the church established, man, here's core doctrines for us. Here's the things that are core practices. Acts 1:14 says, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brother. Acts 2:42 to 47, this is a big one. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all and to any that had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And then chapter 4, verses 32 to 37 says, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many were as were owners of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levi, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So here's these three chapters, and if you read the book of Acts, it continually comes together. It starts with, they had everything in common, meaning not only did they believe the same, not only did they pursue the same, not only did they do the same, but they all shared together so that no one had need amongst them. So they were constantly selling things, giving things away, donating things so that it said that there was not a person who had any need amongst them. Now, if we were to say by like a show of hands, like if someone was 16 and needed a car, I'm sure there'd be plenty who would raise a hand. What the church would have done would have said, okay, if somebody's got an extra car, let's give it to this person because they need it. Or if there was a family who needed food, they would say, all right, let's gather up some money and let's buy them some food because they need it. There wasn't a point at which anybody in the church said, man, we're dying here and everybody's watching us. No, they always kind of gave it together. And the way that they founded themselves was on the apostles' teaching, meaning the study of the scriptures. And then they constantly got together and prayed and worshiped. And then the way that flowed out of that was that they served one another, not only by their gifts, but by their talents and then building the church up. And what it shows is that as we read through the book of Acts, that the church constantly grew because they had everything in common. They all knew the same things. They all did the same things. They all served for the same reason. And then as they served one another, it said that awe came around everyone because they looked and said, man, this is a unified group of people that's changing the planet. And so literally within 100 years from the birth of Christ until the death of the last apostle, there was this growth in the church that was unrivaled in all of history. Like the church literally went from Jerusalem to every corner of the planet. And that comes by them having everything in common, by them knowing all the same things, than them by all serving the same purpose. And then now the book of Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, is Paul's letter to this young guy who's named Timothy. And Paul constantly is encouraging him and teaching him things. If you come on Monday nights, Tim and Caleb are teaching through 1 Timothy. But we're going to read 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy as a way, again, to give context for you as a young person as far as how foundations are. So we'll open up to 2 Timothy 3. If you have a Bible, you can open there, 2 Timothy 3. It's on page 855 of the little Biblias we have. But 2 Timothy 3, and then we'll end with 1 Timothy, and then we'll get some worship on. All right, so 2 Timothy 3, verse 10 is where we'll start at, verses 10 to 16. So 10 to 16, here we go. You, being Timothy, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a life and a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Here's the key for us. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, meaning getting familiar with the scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God and the woman may be competent, meaning knowing what they're doing, and equipped for every good work. And then we'll read 1 Timothy 4, which some of you have probably heard this 1,000 times, but 1 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 16. And this is how we'll wrap it up this morning. It says this: if you put these things before the brothers, this being these foundational deals, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the works of faith and of good doctrine that you have followed, having nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to do this end, we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. And then here's the part that will sound familiar. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, meaning to encourage one another, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, devote yourself to them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save yourselves and your hearers. So one of the things we will always do here is we'll always teach through the Bible, we'll always allow the Bible to speak for itself, and we'll always have a way that we're guiding this big crew of people and saying, here's where we're going as a group. But one thing that you have to do as a person is you have to guard yourself, you have to watch yourself, you have to teach and train yourself, you have to guide yourself, and the way that you do that is by studying the scriptures, knowing how to read the Bible on your own, by learning to pray and hear from God on your own, by being able to worship on your own, and by serving as a desire of your heart of your own. And so those things, man, we're going to do all those all the time, and we're going to do that as a group. But if that doesn't become a core conviction for you, then it just stays here. And when you graduate, you're going to let it all die. And so one of the things that we're always going to do is we're going to make it so that if you choose not to do that, that that's your choice, but that no one will be able to leave here and say, man, they didn't give me the opportunity to learn how to do it so I could grow. And so that's where this read, pray, worship, serve comes in. This will empower you so that you can do this at your house on your own, that you know what you're doing, and that you're not just kind of opening up somewhere and hoping you get something. I mean, we're going to teach you how to read the Bible, and I'm going to condense thousands of dollars of college training into like 4 weeks, and then we're just going to give it to you so you could do it. So I'm going to save you a couple $1,000. As far as praying goes, and we're just going to say, here's how you pray as a response to the Bible. And so we've had this summer prayer meetings that have been going on, and we've said, pray the Bible. And some of you don't even know, man, how do we pray the Bible accordingly? We're going to take 4 weeks, and we're going to teach you how to pray the Bible. And then we're going to jump into worship saying, if we're reading the Bible and we're praying the Bible, that worship and a response from God comes out. And that's going to be one of those places where we're going to teach you how to worship. And that's probably the most awkward of all of these times will be the worship time, but it's the best time. And so worship will come in, and then that'll teach you how to worship apart from having someone on the band lead you through some songs. And then we're going to say, here's how you serve people. Here's how you serve the church. Here's how you serve your peers. Here's how you serve your school. Here's how you serve your city. And then here's how you serve the world. And we're going to put that in the context of what we do here. Prayer meetings on campuses, serving on campuses, serving your family, serving in town, and then what we do with heart work as a way to say, here's how you serve the world. Now, Typically, and in the last 5 years that we've done, as I've been here, we've seen these rhythms to times that we've had. Like, we've had really high seasons that have kind of come to really low seasons, that have come back to high seasons, that have gone to low seasons, that have come to high seasons, that have gone to low seasons. Last year, when we did foundations for the first time, everything that spun out of the next year for us stayed at a high because we did the foundation stuff. And we had some different things that we did that allowed us to kind of go through some different places, but we read the Bible better here because we taught how to read the Bible. We pray better here because we taught how to pray the Bible. We worship better here because we taught how to worship. And we serve better here because we taught how to serve. And all of the things that we do now that we're like, dang, that's the baddest, it's because we came back here to foundations. And I'll say, if we didn't do that, we would have not been where we are right now. Like, I don't say that we could really find a low point in our year, and that's because of foundations. And that's something that myself and all the leaders agree on. We're like, yeah, foundations caused us to go forward. And so that's why every year we're going to come back to foundations, because some of you have never gone through this before. Welcome to the show. Some of you will go through this again. We'll have plenty new that you don't have to feel like you're getting a repeat. And then next year when we come back, we'll have more people who are going to need to go through this again. And then as we get done with foundations, I'll kind of give you what the spring looks like. As we get done with foundations, we're then going to get into, here's the things that you need to believe. So we're going to get into some core doctrine stuff. Our church does this thing called Roots. It's a way that we say, here's why hope exists. Here's why hope's here. And then we say, here's what hope believes about different things as what we found in the Bible. And so that's something we do with adults for 12 weeks. And we're going to do the same with you all. And those are just core. Here's what to believe about Jesus. Here's what to believe about how someone experiences eternal life. Here's what to believe about speaking in tongues. Here's what to believe about miracles. Here's what to believe about serving. We're going to teach you, here's like core biblical principles of what you should believe. And we'll say that this is necessary for a lot of you, because the way Christianity is in our town, that if anybody uses the name Jesus and it sounds good, people believe that it's true. And there's been some things that have kind of boiled to the surface, some things that people have said that sound really good, but just aren't true. And there's a lot of things that people will say about Jesus that will sound very good, but just aren't true. But before we get to, here's why we got to believe on stuff, we want to teach you, here's how you can begin to encounter this on your own. Here's how you can begin to get exposure to this on your own. Here's how you can begin to encounter Christ, that at your house, you can do all the things we do here and not be lacking for a single thing. And that's what we kind of want to hook you up with. As far as today goes, Tanner and the band are going to come up here and get ready to lead us in some tunes. Here's what's going to go down. We're going to get some time to worship. We're going to take a half an hour and just rip it in some worship. And then after that, we're going to come back, and in every part of Foundations, we always have this time where we do some talk at the table. And what we want to do with this is we want to make sure that we're answering questions that you're asking, so we're not just throwing out dumb information that no one wants to know. We want to get some context on where you're at, like what can we do to help you do this better? And also, this is a good way for us to know what are some things that we need to talk about in the future. What are some things that are like, you've got this burning in your heart that you need to be, you know, get an answer to. So if you've got the most ridiculous Jesus question, we want to get that too so that we can get going forward. All right. So let's stand together. We're going to pray, and then these guys will rip it for us. All right. So let's stand, and then we'll get down. All right. So as we worship together, let's all lift up our hands, and then we'll get ready to go for it. So Jesus, today, God, we're so thankful that we can build ourselves upon truth that has lasted for 2,000 years. God, we're thankful that we could be people who aren't just building on our own thoughts or our own ideas, but God, we're building upon things that are eternal. And so God, this morning, I just ask that we would begin to give ourselves to things that last eternally, that God, we wouldn't give ourselves to things that are lasting for but a moment. But God, as we lift our voices and we pray and we worship and we offer ourselves to you, that God, this morning we'd be able to say that God, we're giving ourselves to things that are going to last beyond the breath in our lungs. God, we're giving ourselves to things that are going to last beyond junior high or high school. God, we're giving ourselves to things that are going to build for us a foundation that's going to go on into eternity. And so Jesus, as we worship this morning, I pray that every person in this room would begin to experience and encounter the love of Jesus. I pray that they'd be able to have an encounter with Christ, that God, as we lift our voices, that God, you'd begin to move upon our hearts. God, would you speak to each of us personally? God, would you cause us to hear the God of the heavens say our name? And that God, as we worship, that God, we'd be able to respond according to how you've given your love to us. And so God, we know that we're not coming in first, but that God, you are already here waiting for us. And so God, we lift our voices knowing that you're inviting us in, that you're calling us back. And so God, whether we feel close or we feel distant, God, I pray today that we'd be able to say that the love of Christ has been drawing us near, and that God, we are experiencing and encountering the resurrected Savior. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Were blue.